We're not going into that now, however. But what we are concerned with and what is significant is that this all crystallized eventually into a very important distinction made with regard to the Buddha. And that's the distinction between what came to be called his rupakaya, his physical, phenomenal appearance, and his dharmakaya, his true form, his essential form. Rupakaya literally means form body, and dharmakaya means body of truth or body of reality. Rupakaya is the Buddha as existing in time, and dharmakaya is the Buddha as existing out of time in the dimension of eternity. And it's the latter, the dharmakaya, that is the real body. And this is clear, for instance, from the Buddha's admonition to Vakali. There's a monk called Vakali who was very, very devoted to the Buddha. So much so he used to go about, he used to follow the Buddha around just looking at him. He was so fascinated by the appearance and the personality of the Buddha, he just used to spend all his time just sitting and looking at the Buddha, or following him around and just looking at him. He didn't want any teaching, he didn't have any questions to ask, he just wanted to look at the Buddha. So one day the Buddha called him and he said, Vakali, this physical body is not me. If you want to see me, see the Dharma, see the Dharmakaya, see my true form. And we're told Vakali afterwards meditated upon this. And the same point of view is found in two very famous verses of the Diamond Sutra, one of the most important of all Buddhist texts, where the Buddha says to Subhuti, he says, those who by my form did see me, by my physical appearance, and those who followed me by a voice, wrong the efforts they engaged in, me those people will not see. From the Dharma should one see the Buddhas. From the Dharma bodies comes their guidance. Yet Dharma's true nature cannot be discerned, and no one can be conscious of it as an object. So most of us, like Vakali, try to see the Buddha in, as it were, the wrong way. Not that we should ignore the rupakaya, the physical body, the form body, but we should take it as a symbol of the dharmakaya, the true form and the true body, the Buddha as he is above and beyond time, in eternity, as it were, in his ultimate essence. But we must confess, we must admit that the word Buddha itself is very often a bit ambiguous. Sometimes when we say the Buddha, we mean the historical figure. For instance, we say that the Buddha spoke Magadhi. Well, here, obviously, the Buddha means the historical figure, Gautama the Buddha. But sometimes we use the word Buddha to mean the transcendental reality. As when we say, for instance, look for the Buddha within yourself. When we say look for the Buddha within yourself, we don't mean just Gautama the Buddha. We don't just mean Siddhartha. We mean the eternal, the time-transcending Buddha nature within ourselves. Broadly speaking, we may say that the Theravada school today uses the word Buddha more in the historical sense. But the Mahayana, especially Zen, uses the word Buddha more in the spiritual, more in the trans-historical sense. And for this reason, we find that very often, though rather wrongly, the Mahayana is accused of deifying the Buddha, of making the Buddha into a god. But this isn't really what happens at all, as I have had occasion to explain on quite a number of occasions. There is quite a lot which could be said in this connection on this particular point, but I think I need not go into that here this morning. I think from what I have said already, that the connection between the Buddha and reality, even the Buddha and God, should be quite clear.